Ebony, hitherto hath borne all things. There is none of us this evening that deserve the grace of God. There is none of us that deserve the deliverance that we have experienced. There, the children of Israel experienced deliverance of the power and the hand of God. And it's His working. And it came to that point when Samuel set up the throne. He said, Ebony, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So I trust this evening that as we are gathered together, that we also this evening realize how much God has done for us. And the enormity of our need and all the sufficiency of His grace and His strength. I invite you to the epistle of 1 John. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we'll be just reading verses 1 through 3. I'll omit the parentheses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word is capitalized. He's referring to the Lord Jesus. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so in verses 1 through 5, John was declaring the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And he said, it's Him that we declare unto you. We have testified, we have of Him, we have seen with our eyes. He was manifest to us, he says in verse 2. And it's Him that we declare unto you. And then in verses 7 through chapter 2 and verse 2, we have there John outlining the path to eternal life through belief and through repentance and through confession. And these are beautiful verses that we often refer to. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a just God. And so simply means that when we sin and God forgives us, He doesn't forgive us just by simply looking the other way and saying, well, don't worry. But He's a just God. There's a provision by which we can be forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, we have this advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, if we've already sinned. And He's the propitiation. He is the one who is able to satisfy the demand for justice with an almighty God. And so we have this advocate. Down in verse 3, he says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We can know that we can have a relationship with Him if we keep His commandments. The Christian life has rules. You ever think about that? You know, children in school, sometimes they get tired of things. And sometimes when we play games, we say, well, that's just changing. Let's play the game a little different because we don't like the rules. Christian life has entrance rules. And it also has rules that need to be followed if you're going to be a part of the family of God. Just like each one of you parents, you have home rules. God has family rules. He has home rules, if you will. The walk of repentance is a way of life. There's rules in the Christian life, and that's why we gather together tonight. One of the directions we have in 1 Corinthians 11 is that we are to examine ourselves. There's no reason for examining the arm and roots. And of course, God has roots. There's roots in the family of God. There are entrance rules into the Christian life, and the walk of repentance needs to become a way of life. There's rules to how we conduct ourselves. And he says that we can know that we know Christ if we keep his commandments. We follow his direction. And then in verse 6, he says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. He that saith he abideth in him. I like to think about that this evening, this thought of abiding in Christ. And we're going to look at that. This isn't the text verse, but the text verse is over in verse 27. He goes on in verses 9 and 10 to talk about our walk of life, some practical aspects of that. And I'd like to read verses 14 through 29. We're breaking in to this thought here of his writing on to the little children, writing on the fathers. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Notice this, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, luster. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, that even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, know that everyone that doeth righteousness is worthy of him. And I believe that I said that verse 27 is the text, it's verse 28. Now, little children, which that includes all of us, abide in him. Abide in him. Thinking about this term, abide. Definition of abide means to stay in a given place, state, relationship, expectancy. Abide. Just stay there. That's where you are. Abide. If you abide at a place, you're there. It's where you live. It's where you are. It's where you stay. It's your place of residency. I'd like to just read a few verses in John 15. You don't need to turn here. These are very familiar verses, of course. But I like to think about, to emphasize this thought of abiding. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. But the man abide not in thee, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Think about this branch. this vine and the branches, or the main trunk, and then the branches. And of course, we just enjoy the flowering trees this time of year. And think about a branch, and then a vine, main trunk, and then the small branch that is coming forth from that trunk. Just think about that a little bit. The branch is abiding in the trunk. It's there. Branches don't leave. They're connected. It's always there. It doesn't leave its place in the vine. Its life comes from the trunk. The bark that is on the branch is the same kind of bark that's on the main trunk. As we abide in Christ, then we're going to look like this. When we move away from the place of following Christ, then he says that we start to be like the world. He said we're not the love of it, neither the things that are in the world. But when we're abiding in Christ, then we look like Christ. Our fruit that comes from our lives is the fruit of the Holy Spirit because we're connected with the vine. We have a tree in our front yard that has been sickly the last years, and we need to take it down. And there are branches on that tree that are dead because the trunk is gone. It's no longer providing the life to those branches. And it's dying. Bark is falling off. It's unproductive. It's unfruitful. Abiding in Christ. The fruit that's produced from the branch is determined by the species of the main vine identity. And so abiding in Christ is a place of rest. It's a place of connection. It's a place of commitment, of bearing fruit. It's a place of doing the things that Jesus would do. It's a place of expecting better things to come. Abiding in Christ. When we abide with Christ, then we are growing in Christ. He is always supplying life. He's always supplying the nutrients that we need. He is all sufficient for victory. Abiding in Him. In these verses, there's another thought that I want you to just notice. Was this thought of knowing all things. We have that a few times in these verses. In verse 27, he says, it talks about this anointing. We'll look at this a little later on. But he says that the anointing which you have received of Him, of Christ, that died within you, and ye need not that any man teach you. And so, going to look at that just a bit as well. I don't think I'm going to keep that in the context. So this thought of abiding in Christ and the fact that what he says in verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, and because ye know. Christ has provided what we need. I like to look at three aspects of abiding. I like to think about, number one, being assured of our place in the family of God. Number two, anointed for a purpose. And then number three, ashamed not that is coming. First of all, thinking about being assured of our place in the family of God. Over in chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, we have the purpose. God gives us the purpose of the book. These things have I written unto you that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. It was John's purpose for writing the book that we would know. A council service is a testimony of knowing what Christ has done for us. It's a testimony of peace. It's a testimony of victory. It's a testimony of the work in our hearts that that is a heavenly word. And he says that we can know what we have had an experience with Christ. This word K-N-O-W we have 26 times in the book of John. And John wanted us to know. He wanted us to understand what it takes. He wanted us to understand why we can know that we can have peace with God. Assured of our place in the family of God. Assurance is more than simply knowing that you're ready for Christ's coming. It's more than that. We think of that sometimes. We talk about assurance and being ready for Christ's coming. But it's more than that. It's a daily confidence that God is approving of my life. It's just daily knowing that because of Christ's work, because of the blood of Christ, and my confession of sin, and because I have chosen to live, I've chosen to put off, and to put on the new man. And therefore, we can have assurance. We can be assured of our place in the family of God. It is finding rest in God's plan and purpose for my life. Learning to trust our very life and our health to Him. Trust me. Family of God is a place where we are accepting needy saints. You know, God's family is made up of those that are being. Family of God is also made up of needy people, isn't it? And where we all stand in need daily of the grace of God. And the inflowing power and strength to live above sin, to choose right. The family of God is accepting needy saints. It is where needy saints learn to lean on God. Pardon me. It is where needy saints who learn to lean on God are able to assist other needy saints, and together with the help of the Holy One, they can grow more like Christ. Secondly, anointed for a purpose. So we have this in verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. So this thought of not needing any man teach us is contrasted with the threat of deception. It says that in verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. And I believe that what John is endeavoring to help us to understand is that God has given each of us what it takes to understand the plan of salvation, and also to understand how we need to live. They tell us that the Bible is written in about a seventh grade level. The scriptures are written in a manner that we can understand them. Now, one of the marvels of God's word is that there are aspects of the word, there are themes of the word, there are deep thoughts in the Bible. And there are passages of scripture that I struggle to really understand and think through. I recently heard a brother explaining some aspects of church life from 1 Corinthians 14. And, you know, that's one of those chapters that I sort of read through and say, well, I'm just not sure how that all applies. But this brother just opened those verses up and taught some practical aspects of why we conduct our services the way we do, right from that passage. There are deep things of the Word of God that are difficult to understand, but as it relates to living our life and what God expects of us, we can understand. We can know these things. And I want you to notice something. This word anoint well, over in, I wanted to say this yet, but over in verses 18 and 19, he talks about it being the last time and the end of Christ. And how that they went out from us because they were not part of us. And I don't understand the context or the what exactly he was referring to, how those people had fit into church life and what all had transpired there. But he says in verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. And it's this contrast that he was telling his readers. Incidentally, John was not writing to any specific church. He was writing to saints in general. And he was saying that there are those that have gone astray. There are those that have left the family of God, the church of God in this case. But he's telling them that doesn't need to shape them. Because you can know. You can know. You have an unction from the Holy One. So notice this. This word anoint that we have in verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is true. This word anointing means an unction, a soothing or a healing salve or ointment. And so it's just an anointing with oil. Or ointment. It's an anointing. And Strong says that in this instance, it means the special endowment or charisma of the Holy Spirit. And incidentally, this is the same word that we have over in verse 27, this word unction. So this is all the same thought, and these are the only three times in the New Testament that this Greek word is used. And so it's this anointing we have, this unction we have from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, the unction we have from the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And I thought about some verses, Colossians chapter 3, for instance. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And he says it's the word of God. It's this anointing. It's this unction from the Holy One. It's the word of God that dwells in us richly in all wisdom. It's able to supply. It dwells in us richly. In all understanding, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing us. I thought about Psalm 119 and verse 165. It says that great peace have they which love thy law and not to show offend. And it's the word of God that dwells in our hearts richly, that gives us guidance and gives us strength, gives us peace, blesses us in relationships. Over in Titus chapter 2, and verse 12, starting in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. It's the grace of God that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for a blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the grace of God, we have an unction, we have an anointing. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. It helps us to understand where that line is. Directs us in our choices. I told some young men here a few weeks ago that we were in an instruction class and got talking about music. And I told this young man that, you know, I really believe that understanding what God needs is a good thing. You know, the problem is we try to see how close we can get to the line. And then we get caught in it. But really, God has provided plenty of godliness. God the music. Our decrees say that if it sounds like the world and it probably needs open door. Pretty simple. In fact, my suggestion is that you should just do away with all the other degrees in music and just have a think about that. But God has given us what we need to make correct choices in our own life. You have an anointing this evening. And you received it of Christ. And you need not that any man teach you. In other words, you don't have to have someone else to give you a new revelation to try to find your way. The Word of God is sufficient. Christ was anointed. Or actually, I want to say this, that in thinking about anointing, that the priests were anointed for a special work. We have that in Exodus chapter 29 and 30. Aaron and his sons were anointed and consecrated. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 tells us that Christ was anointed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we have these words. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 24. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew God. You ever pleased? And I think that I have the wrong reference here, and I think the second is chapter 1. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and him amen, to the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I come not as yet unto Carmel. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. We are anointed of him. And then we have this verse that I refer to in chapter 1 and verse 6, or here in chapter 2 and verse 6, where he says that we need to walk as Christ walked. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. This song we sang this evening, I know not why God's wanted his grace. Or I can just emphasize verse 2 and 3. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. The writer is saying that it's beyond my human realm of understanding how God is able to save my soul, how this saving faith is imparted within me, and how believing in his word brought peace in my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves. We have an unction from the Lord. And we don't understand how that works. But we know that it works. Convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you rich in all wisdom. Revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. And then we sang, but I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Beautiful song. We know the work that Christ has done in our lives. And then thirdly, ashamed not at his coming. Brother Andy referred to this thought also of Christ coming again. Brothers and sisters, let's be faithful. Let's receive the anointing. Let's be assured of our place in the family of God. And let us continue to allow God to work in and through us. Ashamed not at his coming. The world is drifting farther and farther. One of these days, Christ is coming. He's going to break through the clouds. Will we be ready? May God help us to be faithful to him in these last days. May God help us to be concerned about our relationship with Christ. May we be thankful for the work that he's done in our life through the work of Christ. And as you come tonight to the council room and give your testimony of peace, walk away and thank God. Bless you. Have peace with him. May God help us to be faithful each day of our lives and to continue to live for him and also to let our light shine in this world.